Welcome to Tesla's Temple to Tech with your host, Mark Alessi. Tune in every Sunday morning from 8:45 to 9 a.m. on 1100 WHLI to learn more about innovation on Long Island through the amazing vision of the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe.
Hi, this is Lisa Mirabile. I'm here today with Mark Alessi, the Executive Director of the Tesla Science Center. We're here to talk about the Temple to Tech. Mark?
Temple to Tech. I love it. So this is our second show, and we talked about the history of Nikola Tesla and how he came to the United States and how he ended up out here on Long Island, funded by J.P. Morgan to do radio transmission to Europe, and how that relationship fell apart. So, you know, to recap slightly, Tesla was building a radio tower to do transmission to Europe, and he was in competition with Marconi. Marconi did a lower-level radio transmission based on 17 of Tesla's patents. We didn't mention that in the last show. So the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1940s ruled that Tesla's the true inventor of radio.
Really?
Yes.
So the radio that we're on right now
was invented by Nikola Tesla.
His basic
patents and inventions were needed to do radio transmission.
That's unbelievable and amazing that I had absolutely no idea until you just said that.
There's layers to Tesla. We'll peel away the layers of the onion and you'll learn more and more about Tesla as the shows progress. But so he didn't do that first transmission. Marconi beat him to the punch with his own technologies, with Tesla's technologies. Morgan pulls Tesla on the carpet and says, "How'd this guy beat you?" And Tesla's like, "He didn't beat me. I'm doing multiple bandwidth radio with channels."
J.P. Morgan.
Yes.
Funded Nikola Tesla
to do radio transmission to Europe.
And Marconi totally beats him out. So that's Marconi.
I want to say totally. Marconi gets off a low-level radio signal to Europe, and the rest of finance basically follows Marconi.
So he fulfills basically what J.P. Morgan
wanted. Right.
Marconi fulfills it.
And Tesla goes back to Morgan saying, "Well, I'm doing multiple bandwidth radio with channels, so, you know, secured channels, where, you know, you could send secured messages." It was kind of like a ham radio. So if you're ham radio enthusiasts, look at Tesla as the inventor of ham radio, where you could have two-way communication, not just a single transmission.
So like walkie-talkie.
Yeah, basically, okay. But worldwide, using the ionosphere, like a ham radio. So a ham radio, you can talk to somebody in Europe for free using a ham radio and using radio waves going across the Atlantic. So that was
amazing.
Tesla's invention. But he also, you know, when you build a ham radio, you don't have to plug it in.
Right.
It's a low-level radio wave that actually provides enough electricity to operate that ham radio. So Tesla was experimenting with working with that resonant radio wave and providing a level of electricity wirelessly. So he already invented the electricity that we used in terms of the transmission and distribution systems, and now he was trying to envision a way to do it wirelessly. Morgan, when he hears this, wants nothing to do with it, whether he thought it was just a too high risk of an investment or Morgan had a temper. He felt Tesla was vacillating or moving away from what their agreement was, didn't get the first radio transmission off, and that this wireless transmission of electricity could compete with his own interests, which were selling from his rubber mines and his copper mines into the current transmission and distribution systems.
So it was a threat.
So he defunded Tesla. And everybody that got close to Tesla in terms of potentially funding him, whether it was the Fricks, because again, he had a very influential circle, Morgan supposedly always scared off. He was pissed at Tesla.
Now here's Nikola Tesla. Okay, great. Chase, J.P. Morgan, you don't want anything to do with us.
Right.
I'm going to go out and I'm going to get funded by someone else because I have plenty of influential friends because I've been dining and wining and dining with these people for the last 10 years and I know I'll find someone else to help me. So, okay, say levy.
Morgan convinced them supposedly not to invest. It was a very risky investment and people just declined to invest. But there's a lot of research going on at our center to determine all the facts around Tesla's life because there's a lot of folklore. And we don't want to spread misinformation. So
we're not sure about that.
We're
Got
not
it.
Sure exactly what happened between him and Morgan. There are a number of stories circling it. There's a number of biographies. We're trying to determine which ones are the most accurate.
Got it.
But that being said, Tesla poured his own money into the site. He felt that he can change the world with wireless transmission of electricity. And he, just as his royalty payments were running out for a lot of his other inventions, so he went bankrupt. He built up an enormous amount of debt living at the Waldorf Astoria, high on the hog. I mean, this guy lived, you know,
a lavish life. Okay.
He would have the Waldorf Astoria put on the train his lunch every day to Wardenclyffe. So he did not spare any expense. So he built up this debt at the Waldorf Astoria. His friend Jacob Astor looked the other way. They did mortgage the property at one point as security for this debt, but he never called them on it. And they always felt that Tesla would eventually raise the capital he needed to make this really successful wireless transmission system. And
so Astor believed in Nikola Tesla.
He did. He invested in a number of Tesla's other technologies. He was waiting for a return on that investment before he invested in this newer technology. Okay. Well, that doesn't matter because in 1912, Jacob Astor goes down on the Titanic. And, you know, everybody knows that story.
Yes.
His brother, who took over the hotel and the new management, did not care about Nikola Tesla. So they kick him out and they take over this property. You know, they call the debt. And Tesla ends up in what is now the New Yorker Hotel, which was, I guess, shameful at the time. I think it's actually a nice hotel right now, but it wasn't the Waldorf Astoria of the day.
Right.
And Tesla loses control of the property. The Waldorf Astoria eventually sells the property and tears down his tower.
Again, the property being Wardenclyffe on Long Island.
Out in Shoreham. And it becomes a film processing center under a company called Peerless. And the good and the bad is in the 1930s and 40s when you're doing film processing or chemicals, you pour it into the ground because they didn't think it would affect the environment or they were ignorant to the fact that it would affect the environment. I say it's good and bad and that it became a super fun site. But the good part of it is it would become a strip mall or condos.
Right.
If it wasn't contaminated. So Peerless sells to Bayer Corp. Bayer Corp sells to Agfa over the decades. Agfa stops operating there in 1987. And they go through a decades-long cleanup regulated by the DEC. And then it goes up for sale. And that's where the clock started ticking. And I mentioned in the last show the community group that had to try to find matching funds for some of the grant funding I was able to secure in the state legislature at the time. They did a world record breaking crowdfund. And that's where the magic really starts happening is there.
So now there's this site here in Shoreham Wading River. It's now cleaned up. It's where Nikola Tesla had his tower where he's trying to harness the Earth's power to create wireless transmission, right? There's all these myths, right? He's built these tunnels, these mysterious tunnels to harness the power of the Earth to create this wireless transmission, which right now I would say would be a cell tower if you ask my, you know, humble little opinion.
Of wireless connectivity, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so now it becomes this brown...
Do you hear that, cell phone companies?
Right. I'm giving Nikola Tesla all the
kudos.
We're
looking for sponsorships. If you're in the wireless industry, electrical industry.
That's right.
But, you know, so I think the real interesting part of the story to highlight is that crowdfund, you know, we raised $1.4 million in 6 weeks from 108 countries, 33,000 donors. That crowd is the most spread out, organic, and worldwide crowd of any crowdfund for any not-for-profit ever.
Amazing. So how
grown.
Much?
1.4 million.
Okay.
So now the funny thing is people turn around like, well, you did a crowdfund. Where's the museum?
Exactly.
Like, okay. That helped buy the property, but it's like a $20 million project just to do the first phase of getting it open to the public, you know, with exhibits and a museum.
I don't think the average person really understands then what you're trying to build. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why $20 million needs to go into a science center,
So first, you have a 16-acre property, and you have multiple buildings on that property. So other buildings have been built there around the lab building. And you have to go through a site plan process. And those soft costs of hiring the architects and filing a site plan and getting the permits, that's $1 to $2 million right there.
Right.
And then you have to demo some of the buildings that are on site. That's like $1 to $2 million right there. It's like $1.5 to $2 million. So now you're up to $4 million. You need to have some operational and staff to actually get these things done. So there's costs there. But just looking at the capital cost of a 10,000 square foot historic building, We just did go through the whole historic preservation process. It's on the National Historic Register, which is great.
Congratulations. That's
great.
Amazing.
It's preserved forever. It cannot be torn down.
Recognized as a historic landmark.
Yes.
Congratulations.
But when you're restoring a historic building, it's more expensive than restoring or building a brand new building. So that is at least anywhere between $500 to $750 a square foot.
No.
So it's 10,000 square foot building. So those are old figures. Let's be conservative and say
right.
It's $750 a square
right.
foot. It's $7.5 million just to get the lab building to the point where it is habitable, where we could get a CO and have people come visit a museum. But it's an empty shell at that point. You got to actually put a museum in there and exhibits, which, again, you know, cost money. So
right, so it's not just exhibits, though. I understand. Well, so, you know, as we talked about in your last show, you were mentioning the fact that it's not just a museum. This isn't just your typical. You're going to go and you're going to see artifacts of Nikola Tesla, which in its own right would be amazing with 300 patents that he, you know, is over 300 patents that he's responsible for. But you're building more than that, and so I want to really understand that, because I myself am an entrepreneur here on Long Island. I want to know what are you bringing here to Long Island?
First, think of the Tesla project as a three-legged stool. The first and the most important part of the mission is to build a museum to Nikola Tesla, and that's what's going to happen in the 10,000 square foot historic lab building that he operated in. So we have people at the front gates every day. And we're not marketing. We can't let them on property, but they're driving out here from New York City, from anywhere in the world. So they visit New York City, they rent a car, and they drive to Long Island.
Again, sacred ground.
It's sacred ground. If they're in the United States, they want to see it. And so we owe it to the world and the people that help support and save this place to open a museum dedicated to Nikola Tesla.
Absolutely.
But in order to make it vibrant and to keep it sustainable, if we need to have something that the Long Island community will keep coming back to. And on the east end of Long Island, we have throughout Long Island, we have a very high IDQ, intellectual density quotient. That means a lot of PhDs, advanced degrees, inventors, people working at places like Brookhaven National Labs, SUNY Stony Brook, Cold Spring Harbor Labs, inventors.
Right. That's right.
And we spend a lot of money on our K-12 programming, but we don't have a strong regional science center like a Liberty Science Center in New Jersey or a Franklin Institute in Philadelphia, or even the New York Hall of Science, which is in Queens, but it could be 2 hours away depending on traffic.
Right.
So for the east end of Long Island, to have a place where kids at 8 years old can get coding classes and robotics classes, or the family can go and see the latest and greatest science exhibits, inspiring them about the importance of innovation in our lives, that's what Tesla was about. He was all about innovation to improve humanity. So if he walked on site and all we had was a museum dedicated to 100 years ago, he'd be kind of ticked off.
Yeah, I would imagine a little upset.
In 1926, Nikola Tesla predicted that we'd carry around a device in our coat pockets where we can call anybody wirelessly in the world and send pictures, videos, and typewriter messages.
Oh my gosh.
People said he was crazy.
In what year?
1926.
In 1926.
He's a futurist. He knew where we were going to go, and he wanted to inspire people to get there. And this place can do that. The last piece is, in that crowdfund, and this is what I wanted to end on and drive home and why this is important to Long Island, aside from our history and aside from the tourism aspect, it's that in that crowdfund, a big cross-section were tech entrepreneurs from all around the world, venture capitalists. We're in the crowdfund, they donated heavily, and then they started calling and saying we should build a business incubator or accelerator on site. Now, this is how I got back involved. So I left politics. I said, sayonara to the Tesla folks. Call me if you ever need help with government affairs. I can help you as a lobbyist pro bono, but right. I'm going to start tech companies. That's what my calling is. And so they called me a year later, and they're like, well, we need your help. There's a bunch of folks that are venture capitalists. They said we should do a business accelerator on site. I was against it back then. They had to convince me that we have eyeballs from all around the world, from the tech community, that want to see this place become a magnet for the worldwide innovation ecosystem.
I myself was a little skeptical And then I start following your Facebook page, right? So I look at your Facebook page and I see that you have people from around the world constantly adding posts, adding salutes to Nikola Tesla, throwing up their own facts of, did you know that Nikola Tesla did X, Y, and Z? I had no idea he was involved in MRI technology, just for another, you know, tidbit of information. And that was really exciting to me. So I urge everyone to tune in next week to our next Temple to Tech with Mark Alessi. As we wrap up today, I want to remind you to get involved right now and how important this is to Long Island. So please visit the TeslaScienceCenter.org for more information. Learn how to get involved. There's volunteer opportunities. The tours are opening now. They open the beginning of June. So please get involved. Let's bring Long Island, you know, back to its innovation days. I welcome anyone who would like to donate. There's a donate section on that site. So again, visit TeslaScienceCenter.org. Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Tesla's Temple to Tech airs Sunday mornings at 8:45 right here on 1100 WHLI. Or go to WHLI.com/Tesla for podcast library.